Amen. God is faithful, right?
Amen.
Yes, we serve a faithful God. You know, I said this last week, and I need to say it again this week. I need just a minute to look at you. Because this has been the desire of my heart for a long time, to see a diverse body of Christ of different ages and different economics and different color of skin and different ethnicity all joined under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a desire of my heart, and I will tell you that I believe God is building something here. I believe that he's building something, and I found it in 1 Peter chapter 2, and this is not necessarily the message today. I just want to tell you what God is doing. If you're here today, don't worry if people act like they don't know you, because we don't know a lot of each other right now, right? We're having to learn each other. And so you're in a great time and a great season in the life of this church. We joined two churches that had been working together for quite some time. Pastor Robinson and I of New Life and Ember, we've been working together for over, what, 2-3 years now. And then we felt like God was calling us to come together and to join up. And that's what we've done. Every week is going to be new, I got to tell you. So you don't know who you're going to get from 1 week to the next. And by the way, we're not going to tell you. Because we believe that God has given us a word which is to be intentionally diverse. That we have to be intentional about it. So from 1 week to the next, you don't know which praise team you're going to get. You won't know which pastor you're going to get. Who's going to deliver the word. You won't know. It's our little secret. Sometimes we might not even know till we get here. So we're going to be intentionally diverse. And I wanted to draw you to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because it says this in verse 5. It says that you are as living stones and you're being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what I believe that God is doing in us is that He is taking diverse stones, like I mentioned earlier, people from different ages and economics and color and ethnicity, and He's putting us together into this one house, this thing called the family of God. And He's building this thing, and it's more diverse and beautiful than we ever imagined. And I would tell you that that is why we are on the earth, Ember, New Life. When we came together, that is what God put us on the earth for, was to lead this charge of saying we are stronger together. We are better off together, and that is what God is doing on the earth. Don't be surprised if you see a little more of this happening around the world. Because it's what God is doing. He is putting us together. I got to tell you this real quick too. Have y'all ever seen the end of a rainbow? Have you ever seen, you have, you've seen the end of a rainbow? For 40 something years of my life, I have never seen the end of a rainbow. In fact, they say that there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? And I'm like, it's always in a distance. And I've never seen the end of a rainbow. Well, when we started this transition, if you remember, Pastor Robinson preached a message about Noah and the rainbow. That afternoon, I was driving down number 9, and Brantley and I saw a rainbow. And do you know we drove through that rainbow? I'm like, and if you don't believe me, Chris and Amy were driving down that road at the same time, and they drove through it too. And it was the first time I'd ever had that happen. Have any of you ever literally seen yourself driving through a rainbow? Woo! Do you know that since then, and it happened this past week, 2 times since then, so that makes 3 total, Brantley and I have been in the car driving, seen rainbows, and the next 2 times, it literally was touching the hood of our vehicle, y'all. Whoa! I'm like, I should stop and pop the hood. At that point, I honestly never even thought about a pot of gold. You know what I thought about? I thought about us. And that God was faithful to His promises over us. New Life, that God was faithful. Ember, that God was faithful. And now we're together. And that God is going to be faithful to build this house. I believe He's going to do it.
Amen.
All right. Keep 1 Peter in your mind and turn over to Psalms 127. Because I've got a word for you today. That's right. A personal word for you today. In Psalm 127. It's a psalm that I believe is for the builder and the worrier. Am I speaking to anybody today? It's a two-part word. It's a word for the builder. Do any of you love to build stuff? You know, you just put ideas together. You just put things together. You work with your hands. You're able to bring synergy to things. You're a builder. Any of you a worrier? Nah, there's no worriers in the room. I'm going to preach this like there was, though, okay? So that you can teach it to your friends who are worried. Psalms 127 is a word to the builder, and it's a word to the worrier. And let me read just first two verses. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Yeah, some of you know that verse. And then it goes on, it says, "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labor, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." So I want to draw your attention. We're going to walk through this. Verse 1, verse 2, it says that unless the Lord builds the house. Did you know that God is a builder? That's his nature. God builds and he creates. And there's no accident that when he sent Jesus, Jesus comes as a carpenter by trade. Why? Because he's a builder. It's in God's nature. And so if you feel that inside of you of wanting to build something, let me tell you that it's from God. Because that's in his nature. We're made in his likeness and in his image. And so God is a builder. And it says that unless he builds a house, what is he talking about there? It is the broadest that you can imagine it. It is that you could build a literal house of stone or wood. It is that you could build a family. Anybody have a desire to build a family that loves God and serves God? Any mamas in the room, any daddies in the room that you're like, I just want all my kids to come to Christ, to serve God. I want to release my children on the earth to do great things for the kingdom. You know why? Because God's a builder and he put that inside of you. That house that it's talking about, it's a stick-built house. It's a family. It goes beyond that. It's a marriage. It's a business. Some of you want to build a business. You hadn't even done it yet. But you want to. It's in your heart. You know why? Because God's a builder. And he put that inside of you. And there's this house, this business that's inside of you, this ministry that's inside of you. I've talked to some of you this week. There's been a ministry stirring in you. There's something that you want to do. You want to do it for the Lord. You want to build a house in ministry to the Lord. And so it says that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Now it's like we're bowling. Any of you ever been bowling? It's football season. I should use that analogy. There are out of bounds on either side, right? There's two out of bounds for this verse. And I want to tell you how you can run into the gutter and out of bounds on one side. And that is this, that if you take that and say, well, the Lord's going to build it, there ain't nothing for me to do but just sit back and let him do it. Can I tell you that's a gutter? That's a gutter. Because the Lord didn't say that we're not to build. It's in our nature to build. And so we have work to do. I've ran into folks over the last little bit and it has concerned me. And I believe these folks are Christians because they will say things like this. Well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord to do it. Anybody ever heard that? I'm just going to wait on God. Now, we're taught to wait on God. But there was something about that didn't set in my spirit. You ever heard something that didn't set in your spirit right? And I said, you know what? This is not faith that I'm witnessing here. Stay with me. I'm witnessing irresponsibility. Oh, I done gone to meddling and it's just the first quarter of the message. Right? We need not confuse faith with being irresponsible. Okay? We need not say, I'm just going to trust that God's going to make a way and I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. Because here's what normally happens. Somebody who is responsible gets up and goes to work and makes more than enough in order to provide for you who aren't doing enough. Right? And so I would say that the gutter is this mindset that, well, you know what? I'm just not going to do anything. And there are times where we run into this thing where I've tried, and you just give up because you feel like you've been beaten down. And you feel like you're just worn out, and you feel like I can't do it again. What this verse is saying is there's this beautiful marriage between the work that we do and God doing it. It's this beautiful thing. And now some of you, it's the other side of the gutter. And the other side of the gutter is this. Let me tell you a story real quick. Caden and I, that's my son, we had to go down to the landfill. Any of you ever been down to the landfill in Chester? We had to take something down to the landfill. And we did it like, I don't know the time frame in between, but when we went, there was this big, huge place they dug out. It was like 50 yards wide. It was probably 100 or 150 yards long. And they told me, they said, now you need to back down in there and dump it when you get to where all the other debris is. And I had to back a long way. And backing up a trailer is a real challenge for me. Okay, but that's not part of the story. So I had to back a long way, and we got down there, and we unloaded, and then I don't know the time in between, but when we got back, that whole area had been covered in debris, filled up. I mean, it was like 20 feet high, 50 yards long, 100, 150. It was piled with debris, so much so that my son said, man, people dumped a lot of trash since we've been here. And I said, yeah, they sure have. And I started thinking about that trash, and I want you to think about it with me too. In that landfill were Christmas presents and birthday presents and stuff that people worked real hard for, spent a lot of hours on, worried about how they were going to pay for it, got in arguments with their spouse over how they were going to pay for that stuff. And you know where it ended up? In the trash dump. There were houses in that landfill. Did you know that? When you get rid of a house in Chester, it don't just disappear. It has to go somewhere. It goes to that landfill. There are houses that people dreamed of building, and they're in the bottom of that landfill right now. If you live long enough, that house you're working for, you know where it'll probably be? That's shocking, isn't it? That jarred me into reality. The number of things that we work for and we labor for and we sweat and we cry over and we divorce each other over because we can't get along, and it's vanity. It's vanity. I want to challenge you today. What you work on reveals who you are. What are you working on? And is it in God's heart that be built? Or was that just your idea? Young people, you're looking around the room and you're living in life and you see some folks and they're older than you and they're frustrated and they're discouraged and you got dreams and hopes, don't you? Yeah, you want to build a life. You want to do things, but you look at people and you're like, why are they so tired and discouraged? Why are they so defeated? Why do they not want to build anything? May I suggest to you that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And if your plans were not the plans of God, if you build them long enough and they end up in vanity long enough, you get discouraged. Can I tell you that if you're a young person today, have dreams, have hopes, have a vision for the future, but make sure God's in it. Make sure God's in it. Because when He's in it, that thing is going to be successful. Now listen to the next part of it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. Have you ever built something and you felt like God was in it, but you got worried of whether or not He was going to do it or not, if He was going to finish it? Is there anybody in the room like that? You knew you started out and God was in it, but then along the way you get worried and you're like, I don't know if He's going to take care of it or not. And then there are some of you that you're not even in that category at the moment. You're building something and you know God's not in it. Can we go on and be real for just a minute? You know God's not in it. I'm speaking to somebody. I don't know who it is. I'll look around and see if that face matches up in a minute when you go. You know God's not in it. And you got to double down. You got to work harder. And you're striving to the bone to keep it going. And can I tell you, God's trying to talk you out of it. That's why it's not working, because he ain't in it and it's not good for you. And he's trying to talk you out of it. And so there's two parts to this. There's the person who you feel like you've started with God, but you won't take it back. And what do? You start worrying. You start worrying if it's ever going to happen the way you saw it, if it's going to work out. You start worrying if somebody's going to come in and take over. Maybe you got that job, but maybe somebody's going to one-up you. And so you gotta go in early. And you got to stay late. Right? Isn't that the culture that the world teaches us? That if you don't watch it, somebody's going to get your spot. So you better go in before them and get off after them. Does that sound familiar? It is in vain for you to rise up early and to retire late and to eat the bread of painful labors. But we think we got to hold it all together. We think that we're building a house, but it all depends on us. And so we got to keep watch, because you never know when somebody's going to come and going to take it from you. Y'all remember that commercial? I don't know what the commercial is for exactly, but the guy, he says, I'm a security monitor. You ever heard that one? Y'all don't watch TV, praise God. You'll know it in a minute. So this guy, he's a security monitor. And he's standing there, and these guys come in to rob the bank. And so they're blowing up stuff and all, and they got these guys, and everybody drops to the floor, and he's standing there. And the lady on the floor, she says, "Do something." And he says, "I'm not a security guard. I'm a security monitor. I let people know when there's a bank robbery." There's a bank robbery. "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." A lot of times you worrying over stuff, and if it was to come, and most of that doesn't, by the way, but when it does come, you know what you're going to have to do? Jesus! Because we just security monitors. The Lord's going to have to guard your work. The guard's going to have to guard your business. He's got to guard your family. Oh, he's got to guard your children. You can lay awake at night if you want to and worry them home. But I can tell you, it is God that'll get them safely there. You can guard that stuff if you want to. But it is God who is going to have to intervene, and he's going to have to step in and make sure that things get done. Now, this is my favorite part right here. Listen to what it says in verse 2. Let me just read the whole thing. "It is in vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labor, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." I don't know if you've turned your Bibles to this or not, but I want us to just repeat this together if we can. I'll say it so you can get it in your head. "For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." Let's say that together. "For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." Yeah. Do you know that as a believer, we are supposed to be triumphant over sleep? Yeah, that's our territory. Sleeping and resting, that's the fruit of God's kids. That's our territory. The world is supposed to look at us and go, "How in the world are those people so relaxed? How are you so relaxed?" I hope I don't get off track too much, but as we've been bringing this thing together, these two churches together, there have been times that I have sat there alone with God and I said, "God, what are we doing?" I'm like, "God, we got a chance to do some great things." Do you believe that? We got a chance to show the world this incredible love of God and love for each other. But then the enemy was whispering in my ear, "But you can mess this up, Kevin. You could set this thing back any number of years." You know? And I start to worry. And I start to wonder if this thing is gonna be okay or not. And it says that he gives to his beloved in his sleep. And so I'm taking this posture, which is this. People say, well, how are y'all doing that? And I've told some of my pastor friends, I was like, we have no idea. We really don't have a great plan other than we're just going to love each other.
Amen.
It's the one thing that we believe never fails. Love never fails. And so we're just committed to loving each other. And so I want to tell you that if any of you get like me and you've got a part in this whole thing of music or whatever, is I believe that we're supposed to be a people of rejoicing. That through this, we're just supposed to have joy. That we're going to lay down at night, and if the question comes to our mind, how is this all going to work out? We're like, we don't know. We're just security monitors. If there's trouble, we're going to report that to the Lord and let Him work on it. We're just security monitors. And we're going to do what we've been called to do. We're going to love each other. And what did I tell you? We're going to keep the ring on. Yeah. And so this thing is going to be joy and it's going to be rest. And we're not going to strive for it because this is what Jesus prayed for. And that's true of all of life. The Christian is supposed to own the night hours. But how many times is it that you wake up? It's that 12 to 3, isn't it? You ever notice that 12 to 3, it'll get you. And you'll stay up and your thoughts are just running through your mind about work and what you've got to do or family and school and tests and all those things. It's running through your mind. And you cannot rest. I believe that God wants to set us free from that today. Because I believe that one of the most worshipful, listen to me, one of the most worshipful things you can do is lay your head on your pillow and rest. It's worship. Did you hear me? You didn't know that, did you? You thought worship was singing. Well, that's a part of worship. But when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you say, God, I trust you. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my ministry, with my business. I trust you with it all. And so, Lord, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to trust that you're the greatest watchman of all. And that you're working even in my sleep. You see, the Jews, they had it right. The Jews started their day in the evening. Did you know that? We tend to think about the start of the day as the morning and it goes till night and we go to sleep. And that's that uncomfortable point where we have to just lay down and try to get some rest until we start it all over again, right? Yeah. The Jews, not so. The Jews started their day in the evening. It ran from sundown to sundown. Think about that with me for just a moment. At sundown, you had enough time to finish up what you did, to get a little food if you had it. And then it was time to lay down. Because can I tell you that humans need rest? Can I tell you that you need rest? You were not meant to run without rest. Now, you may need less sleep than others, but we all need sleep. It's an interesting thing about God and us. We have to sleep. God says, I never sleep. God never sleeps. He's all-sufficient God. All things are in Him. They all come from Him. He don't need to sleep. In fact, He's watching over you while you sleep. That's why He doesn't sleep. Because He's all-sufficient. That would have been a good time to clap. I thought somebody was going to do it. Right? That would have been a good time. He doesn't sleep because He's all-sufficient. And He's watching over you with all-sufficient resources. And so one of the first things that the Jews did is they laid their head down on the pillow and they went to sleep. And it was good and pleasing to God because it was worship. Can I tell you that your thoughts are worship? You will either worship your fear. You know that, right? You lay it in front of you and you bow down before it and you worship at the feet of fear. Or you lay your head on your pillow and you say, you know what, God, I just believe that you can take care of this better than I can. And in an intentional act of worship, you hear me? In an intentional act of worship, I'm just going to lay down and I'm going to say, God, it's yours. And then in the midst of that, God begins to move. Any of you ever had a good idea while you were sleeping? Yeah. You just go to bed with just a peace about you. And sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a thought. Every one of you ought to keep something by your bed. A pen and some paper or your phone or something. Because I wouldn't be surprised if when you lay down and trust God, if He doesn't wake you up and say, hey, you want to talk about something? Let's talk about it. And then He lays that thing out in front of you. And when you go to sleep that night and you finish up and you wake up the next morning and you go, oh, I feel so refreshed. And I've heard from God. And I feel right about the day. There are times where you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you may not realize it, but God is moving. He's always moving on your behalf. He's always moving things into place. You're sleeping and God's bringing stuff. He's moving stuff. He's going to present things to you. And you wonder, how in the world did all that work out? It's because God was keeping watch over you. And God was doing it. And so we worship as we sleep and as we rest so that God can build us. So that He can refresh us. You remember what David said? David said this. He was a great king over Israel. He had built himself a great house. He was looking at the ark where the presence of God was, and it stayed in a tent. And he had this idea. He says, I want to build God a house. Any of y'all remember that story? He built himself a house. He looked at this ark and he said, it's in a tent. He said, I want to build God a house. And at first the prophet Nathan came to him, and the prophet Nathan said, yeah, that's good. Do what's in your heart, David. And then Nathan went away and he had to come back to David. And he said, ooh, hold on just a minute. Change of plans. God had something to say, and I need to tell you. And this is what He told David. He said, David, you wanted to build God a house, but God's going to build you a house. Woo! Huh? Can I tell you, I don't believe that's just for David. I don't think that's just for David. I think that there are people that set out and they say, there's something inside of you, right? You want to do something for God. It's been stirring up inside of you. You're like, I got a ministry. I got a calling on my life. I want to give it to God. And you're like, God, I want to do something for you. And then all of a sudden, God puts the brakes on. He said, hold up. Wait a minute. You want to build me a house? I'm going to build you a house. Because if you build it by yourself, it'll all be in vain. But if you wait on me, I'll build you a house. I'll build your family. I'll build your children. I'll build your business. I'll build your ministry. Now, how does that all fit then back to that 1 Peter 2:5 about how we're stones being built into this temple? Because God is coming not to live in a house that David wanted to build. Are you with me? He's not coming in a physical structure. He didn't want to dwell there. Do you know where He wants to dwell? In me and you. Oh, think about that for just a minute, because y'all didn't get that. That didn't settle the way that it should. God doesn't want to live in a physical structure. God doesn't live right here in this room. Do you know that? He lives in us. He didn't want to dwell in bricks and stones and wood. He didn't want a place like that. He says, no, I got a better idea. I want to live in the hearts of men and women. And so what is He doing then? If God's going to come in and live inside of you, He is the King of glory. He is going to make some repairs. Yeah. He is the King of glory. He's coming to live inside of you. He says, I got to build you in such a way that your life is worthy of my presence. Now, you can't do that. You unskilled labor. I tried to build it myself. I thought, surely I can build a place that God will come and dwell, right? Surely I can do this thing. And I do it in its vanity, and its vanity, and its vanity. And God said, listen, I know you want to build me a house, but I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to work this thing out in you. I'm going to develop your character. That's why we had to talk about irresponsibility a minute ago, because God don't dwell in irresponsibility. God doesn't dwell in slothfulness. God doesn't dwell in people who have given up. He says, I want to come in and refresh that in you. I want to come in where you were hopeless and give you hope. I'm going to remodel it. Where there's been irresponsibility and make you responsible, because I'm building a place for me. So you know it's going to be good. Can I encourage you, if you ever wondered if God was going to do something good in you? Is there anybody like that? You're like, I wondered if God was ever going to do anything good in me. He's always desired to live in you. And you know He was going to make a good place wherever He was going to live. He's going to make a good place. So He's going to make a good place out of your life. If you'll quit building stuff that's going in the landfill. So you got to give up on that stuff that's just going to rot and rust and burn up, and all those awards and accolades that nobody's going to remember when you're gone. Can I go on and tell you that? All those awards and medals and accomplishments and the Guinness Books of World Record, nobody reads that. Okay? Can I just tell you, nobody says, I've got to get the next copy of the Guinness Book of World Records to see all the accomplished people. They don't read it. In sports, we forget all the statistics. Nobody cares. Quit building stuff that rots and rusts and burn up, and let God build you. And then when He builds you, He's going to attach me and you with each other. This thing was not meant to be an individual assignment. Do you hear that? I know the American dream says it's you and yours and just look out for yourself. That's not what God's building. What God is building, He's taking your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and He's connecting it up with the person that's sitting right across the room from you. And because of that, it's getting stronger. It's like this, what Pastor Robinson said, a rope of three cords, not easily broken. He's saying, all by yourself, it's too big for you. But together, you can do it. And I'm putting you all together. Let me put you all together so that I can do my work. Now, we got to do ministry time. Jacqueline, come up here for me, okay? Yes, you, come up here. This is Jacqueline Jeter.
That's me.
And you've had a ministry in your heart, haven't you?
Yeah.
That thing's been stirred in you of what you wanted to do for the Lord, right? And you told me this week, you said it felt like that for a while that thing had been put on hold. And so and so Sunday when we left, now we had just combined services Sunday. And I knew Jacqueline a little bit before that. But she came up to me and she said, I'm going to win my neighborhood for Jesus. And she went on and she said, I just need two things from you. You give me two things, I'll win my neighborhood for Jesus. I said, oh, I got to pay attention to this. So I texted her to see if she would come and meet with me this past week. And she came and she told me about her heart for her people over at Chester Homes and how she loves the kids there and how she wants to work with the kids and how she's got a heart for women. And she spent all day Sunday ministering to ladies. And I said, well, what are those two things? I'm not going to share those two things with you. But here's what happened. Those two things, because we've joined together as one, we have what she needs. Yeah. Yeah. You see, individually, she didn't have everything she needed. You don't always have everything you need. Quit being the Lone Ranger. Yeah. Quit being the Lone Ranger. Some of y'all are like, who's the Lone Ranger? But in this coming together, we have what she needed. And so we're going to do a field day over in her neighborhood. And she's starting a women's group that's going to meet over here in Sweet J every first and third Thursday from 6 to 7 o'clock. They're going to study the women of the Bible. Did I say all that correctly? Yes.
Around the table.
Around the table. Now, here's what we're going to do. Me and you are going to pray. Okay? You thought you were going to get out of this with nothing to do, but you're not. If there is anybody that is in this room today and you have felt this desire to build, and it may be a business. We've used to say that if you were building that was secular and it didn't matter. Can I tell you, you can reach more people through your business than most people can through the church, the way we've been doing it. Yeah, so if there's a business inside of you, if there's a dream inside of you, if there's a ministry inside of you, that thing's been burning, I want you to stand up. I got to call you out for just a minute. I need you to stand up. I need you to stand up. I'm going to do like the Morris. I'm going to say it 5 times for emphasis. I learned that from him. I'm taking notes. It's inside of you. Stand up. Yeah, that's it. Keep standing. Me and Miss Dita, we're gonna pray for you right now. You wanted to build God a house. But I'm here to tell you today that God said he's going to build you a house. He's going to be the builder. And it's going to be good, and it's probably going to be better than you imagine. It'll be something that you saw a little bit of it, but you didn't see all of it. It was better than he imagined. You see, the temple was a good idea, but God's idea was better than David imagined. So we're going to pray for you now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray over these who that thing's been stirring inside of them. That, Lord, they've wanted to do this thing. And, Lord, I pray today that they have the confirmation that they need. That, Lord, you're going to build it. You're going to do it. And that because of that, it won't be in vain. And so, Lord, I pray even now as they sleep that they'll lay their head down on their pillows at night and they'll have rest because, Lord, they're trusting you to make the appointments, to bring the people, to align the work and the resources in such a way that it can be done. Lord, I pray you release that upon the earth in the name of Jesus.